Your calls, your stories. Mornings on BBC Radio Scotland.
Now, the wind and the rain may have dampened your spirits this morning, but our so-called summer has had a tremendous impact on renewable energy here in Scotland, with the electricity produced by wind turbines increasing 50% on last year. But how much does renewable energy rely on the weather? Well, US President Barack Obama has also unveiled the biggest pledge in tackling climate change by any US president. But what will it mean for renewable energy worldwide? We're joined this morning by Ross Blamier. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Josh. He's a senior policy manager at Scottish Renewables and independent energy advisor Richard Killick. Richard and Josh, very good morning.
Morning, Louise.
Good morning. Let me come to you first of all, Josh. How much does renewable energy depend on the weather?
Well, renewable energy works because of the weather. So when the wind's blowing, our wind turbines are producing power. When it's sunny, our solar panels will produce power, and when it's raining, our hydropower will be producing for us. So luckily in Scotland, you could say, we've got a variety of sources of power because of our changeable weather, you might say, and therefore it's a great place for renewable energy to thrive.
But what happens when you get a nice, warm, breezy, dry April? When the sun's not particularly bright in the sky, it's not particularly hot, the rainfall might not be that high, despite the old myth about April showers. I think we had a lovely April this year. Mm. People are sitting out in their own gardens just enjoying the light breeze, so your turbines aren't turning, your hydro plants might not be gurgling away, and you're certainly, well, maybe not getting much heat in your solar panels. What do you do then?
Well, it's important then to look at the long term. So although we've had a good July for renewable energy, if we look back to last year as a whole, we can see how renewables did over the entire year, which is more important, really. And last year, for the first time, renewable energy was Scotland's biggest source of power. So renewables produced more power than nuclear, more power than gas, and more power than coal as well. So over a year, we are producing a huge amount of electricity for Scotland.
How sustainable is that for Scotland, Josh?
Well, we think it's very sustainable and actually essential. You know, the industry now supports around 21,000 jobs in Scotland. We're helping to mitigate against over 12 million tonnes in CO2, which is obviously helping to guard against the effects of climate change. And in the long term, the cost of climate change is certainly far greater than the cost of investing in renewable energy.
Richard, let's bring you in here. Richard Killick, Independent Energy Advisor. If renewable energy is so dependent on the weather here in Scotland, what alternatives do you recommend that we should be using?
Well, the wind power certainly has done us very well in July. It's very good news, not too little wind, not too much wind. And at the same time, all the rain that comes with it clears the sky. So when the sun does come out, your solar panels actually generate more or less at full power, whereas on a hazy day, they might only get up to three-quarters of their normal power. So wind and rain isn't necessarily bad for solar.
What would we be able to do to sustain such alternatives?
Well, the main alternative that I'm very keen on is tidal power, because the one advantage of tidal power is that it's 100% predictable. You know more or less exactly what you're going to get out of your turbines at any hour of the day. Admittedly, there are periods when there is no flow of water, when the tide changes. But that can be catered by the fact that we've got powerful tidal flows around the north coast of Scotland and the west coast, and between them they can produce a fairly constant supply of power. And that's really must be one of our longer term renewable energy.
How economic is it when we're talking about tidal power?
Well, at the moment, we're in the very the comparatively early stages where quite a bit of cost is involved without much output. Getting to the first few machines on the seabed and seeing how reliable they are and using them as experimental outputs. So at the moment, the costs are high and the start-up costs are high.
Mm-hmm. So how do we encourage people to invest in something that they might not see a return in for some time?
That probably is the fundamental question for renewable energy in the tidal aspects. Difficult to see a way around that. And the immediate answer, of course, is government subsidies.
Mm-hmm. Josh, let me pick up on the point I mentioned earlier. President Obama has, of course, pledged his clean power bill. What effect do you think that will have on renewable energy worldwide?
I think it could have a couple of really positive effects. First of all, if the US does choose to take forward President Obama's plan and invest in more renewable energy, then it's likely to bring down the cost of those renewables globally. The more investment there are, generally, the more costs come down.
What time scale do you think we could be looking at here? Because the president says this is what we're going to do, it doesn't mean to say the next day it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a big job to try and push through those plans back in the US. But even politically, making that statement is a positive thing. You know, he's pointed out the key aspects that this generation has to really invest in renewable energy now. You've got to understand that the costs of not doing something are far greater than the cost of investing in renewables.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the benefits for the industry are a potential to lower costs quite quickly, actually. We've seen the cost of solar panels come down rapidly over the last 5 years, and that's largely due to a growth in Chinese manufacturing, actually, and the efficiencies created there. So these things can happen pretty quickly if investment's made at a global level.
No, I think that's key, as Richard was pointing out. It's all about investment. Richard, what have you made of President Obama's pledge?
Well, delighted to see America taking such a positive lead. Admittedly, in the past, they've been hesitant. And this is really America, I think, playing catch-up now. That is substantially good news on a worldwide scene. Of course, in Scotland here, we have pretty well led in the drive for renewables in terms of wind power. America, I think, is beginning to catch up. There's pity the shale gas eased their need for external power and perhaps delayed the push for renewables.
But nevertheless, well, you say it's thumbs up to America, and you know, you applaud President Obama for his moves. Nevertheless, we have the likes of India and China churning out pollutants, perhaps using energy way in excess of anything that we can ever imagine.
Yes. And I think we've got to remember that every barrel of oil pumped out of the earth and burnt is carbon dioxide. And so we will not be able to reduce the carbon dioxide significantly in the atmosphere until we are able to cut back on the amount of oil we actually dig out of the earth, pump out of the earth and burn.
Josh, do you think there's something we could all be doing here? I mean, could you see a day that each garden in Scotland is going to have a wind turbine sitting in the backyard or sitting on the roof of our homes?
Yeah, there's been an opportunity for a few years now through a government scheme called the Feed-in Tariff to invest in domestic renewable energy. So you have seen over recent years the number of solar panels on roofs increasing. Certainly some people, if there's land available, often you'll see a smaller scale wind turbine there. So things are already happening across the country.
And to the critics who say that they're a blight on the landscape, they're ruining our scenery, what do you say to them?
Well, I say it's a really important industry for Scotland. As I said, supporting 21,000 jobs, and investment of over £1 billion in the last 3 years, and really a potential for Scotland to take a lead on the world stage and to begin to even export not only our electricity potentially, but also our expertise in developing these technologies. As been pointed out, our marine energy, if we find the commercial solution to that problem, then we may well find ourselves in a position of being a world leader and having an industry which we can export across the globe.
Okay, to Josh and to Richard, many thanks indeed for joining us this morning.